All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Grace Church. If we have never met before, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors on staff. So as we always say, thanks for coming out and for entrusting us with part of your weekend. We do want to welcome those of you who are watching online. We're glad to have you guys with us, too. So before we jump into the message, I want to actually give you a bonus announcement. And the bonus announcement is that our campus pastor, Pastor Tony, is actually starting a sabbatical that starts this weekend. And so he is going to be out for a little while. And so we want to let you guys know that for a couple reasons. One, if you don't see him around, he didn't get fired. Nothing's wrong. He's on a well-earned rest sabbatical. And so we just want to make sure you guys knew that. The second reason we wanted to tell you that is so that you could pray for him. We would just invite you to join us in praying for him over the next month or so, just for his family, just to generally just get rest and to get away for a little while. And then the third reason we want to tell you that is because we would tell you don't email him, because he's not going to respond. He literally doesn't have access to it. That's one of the things they take that away from you so you can generally get away and rest. And then for a handful of you, if you do have his cell phone, we'd ask you guys, don't call him, don't text him, just allow their family to get away for a little bit. And then when he gets back, when you see him in the lobby, you guys could all send him an email with your question that you've been holding on to at the exact same time and just like explode his inbox. But for now, we'll let him rest for a little bit. So that's that quick update for you. And then obviously, as you can hear from my voice, I am on the tail end of fighting off a sinus infection. So if you could just do your best to be gracious with me, and I will do my best to try and make it through and survive. Hopefully my voice will hold up. So as we get started today, we're actually going to start with a little word association game that's going to require some crowd participation. And so the way it's going to work is I'm going to put a word or a phrase on the screen, and I simply want you to shout out the first thing that comes into your mind. Now, because I know some of you, you might want to run that through a filter first. But some of you, you're like nudging the person next to you, right? But assuming you do that, you show a little bit of discretion. When you see the word, just shout out the first thing that comes into your mind. So here you go. Ready? Cleveland Browns. Boo. I heard a boo. That was last night. They booed as well. What else? Say it again. Losers. Wow, this is a rough crowd. Anything else? Cleveland Browns. Oh, we got a Brownies cheer. Cardiac kids. Okay. Next year. I heard something for the Cowboys over there. All right. Do you guys get how this works? All right, here's the next one. Remember filters. The government. Another boo. That was the theme last night, too. What else? What comes to your mind when you think of the government? Thieves. Liars. Wow. Okay, what else?
Leadership.
Taxes. Someone last night said $5 per gallon. They referenced the gas. They're a little hurt by that right now. Okay, another one for you. First thing that comes into your mind when you think about Tony Lavigne. What was that? Someone whistled over here. I don't know what to do with that, but that was the first thing that came into your mind. Say it again.
Pastor.
Teacher.
Leader.
Okay. Don't email him. Thank you for listening earlier. All right. Last one. What comes into your mind when you think about God?
Awesome.
Awesome. Love. I heard something over here, but I couldn't make it out. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Good.
Holy.
Purpose.
Redeemer.
Redeemer.
Love. Now, what I love about this last one is that whether you are religious or not, all of your minds went somewhere, right? Whether you grew up going to church every week or maybe today is the first time you've literally ever stepped foot in one, all of us have a mental image of God. We all have a collection of ideas and experiences and external influences that, for better or worse, have built up over the course of our lives to create this mental image, this thing that comes into our mind. And so this time, not out loud, but just in your own mind again, let me ask you the question, what is it that comes into your mind when you think about God? Do you instinctively have a positive image of God, one that goes to loving and kind, to someone that has your back? Or do you have a negative mental image, one that goes more towards something like judgment or wrath? Do you think of God as someone who is personally active and involved in your life? Or do you picture God who is more distant or unconcerned with your day-to-day life? Maybe some of you, do you view God like a drill sergeant? Do you view him as someone who's waiting for you to screw up, or as someone who is maybe constantly disappointed in you? And regardless of your background, regardless of your upbringing, all of us, we all have an answer. And the reality is, because we allow so many different sources to influence this picture, all of us will probably answer this question slightly differently. Well, one of my favorite authors is a guy by the name of A.W. Tozer, and some of you have maybe heard this before, but here is what Tozer has to say about how we answer this particular question. He says, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. He goes on to say, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move towards our mental image of God. And were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to this question, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. And so for Tozer, this question is more than just a fun little exercise, and it is more than just insightful. For Tozer, how you answer this question is predictive. For him, how you answer this question will not only show you the direction that you are headed, but in his mind, how you answer this question actually determines the direction that you are headed. And that is why, in his words, what comes into your mind when you think about God is so incredibly important. And so with all of this in mind, this week we are kicking off a brand new series that we are simply calling Who is God? Who is God? And in this series, we're going to study some of the different attributes of God, and we're going to look at what the Bible says God is actually like. And one of the challenges that we are each going to face during the series is that we're all going to have to attempt to set aside all of our preconceived notions about what we think God is like so that we can consider, maybe for the first time, what God is actually like. And although as finite human beings we'll never be able to fully comprehend all who God is, God in his graciousness to us, he has revealed much of who he is to us. And so today is going to serve as an intro to that series. And so today my goal is not to actually dive into one of the attributes themselves, but rather I simply want to help you understand why, just like A.W. Tozer, I think this series is so incredibly important for us. And specifically today we're going to give you three reasons why I think you should lock into this series, and three reasons why studying the attributes of God has the potential to impact your lives. So if you have a Bible with you, I want you guys to join me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we are going to be on page number 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can find one under the seat backs in front of you. That will be on page number 2. And we say this every week, but if you don't own a Bible, you can actually take that Bible home with you, and you can consider that a gift from us to you. And so the first reason that studying the attributes of God is so important is because a wrong view of God leads to wrong decisions. Because a wrong view of God leads to wrong decisions. And so back when I was in college, as Casey mentioned during announcements, when he was so graciously talking about our congregational meeting and me, my major was civil engineering. And so when you major in engineering, one of the things that you better be prepared for is you better be prepared for a lot of math and a lot of word problems, right? For some of you, that is that's the thing of nightmares. Like, that's the opposite of what you would like to spend your life doing. And so it was a pretty common occurrence for one of my math tests or my engineering tests to consist of three really complex word problems that would force me to apply a lot of different skills to come to the right conclusion. And so the good news was that there was normally only three questions on my test. But the bad news was that each of those questions could take 30 to 45 minutes to solve. And each of those questions was really a combination of like 10 sub-questions that all built upon each other as you went along the way. And so one of the things that I learned very quickly was that one of the worst things that could happen to you in one of those exams was getting one of those early sub-questions wrong. Because if you got one of those early steps wrong, you would then carry that wrong answer all the way through the rest of the problem. And so even if you ran the rest of the process flawlessly, if one of your early assumptions was wrong, the final conclusion, right, like you stood zero chance of getting that right. And so if you didn't have your fundamentals down, you were in for some pretty long exams. And one of the things that I have found is that the same thing is actually true when it comes to how we think about God. And so because our view of God is so foundational to our decision-making, if we make a false assumption or we get part of that answer wrong, that error is something that we carry forward into all kinds of other decisions in our life, right? And so even if we run the rest of the process flawlessly, if we miscalculate who God is or what he is like, it will cause a domino effect of wrong conclusions in our lives. And this is something we actually see examples of all over the Bible. And so, for example, in Genesis 3, we find Adam and Eve, they are in the garden and life is good. Adam is stewarding over creation. God has just given him Eve. It says they were both naked. They felt no shame. And then somewhere along the lines, Satan presents them with a lie about the character of God. Here's what it says. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And so Satan presents Adam and Eve a lie about the character of God. And for at least a brief moment in time, Adam and Eve bought into the lie that God was somehow holding out on them, that he did not have their best interests at heart. Right? For a moment, they believed that instead of having a God that loved them and was looking out for them, they thought God was being selfish and that he was somehow withholding something that was good from them. And that view of God, it determined their next choice. Their false view of God guided their decision-making. And immediately following their decision to sin against God, we find that Adam and Eve hid from God because they were afraid. And again, Adam and Eve made a false assumption about what God was like. They assumed that because they disobeyed God, that God was now out to get them. And so instead of running towards God and asking for forgiveness, they ran away from God and they tried to hide. And this is why what comes into your mind when you think about God is one of the most important things about you. If you were to move forward into chapter 4 of Genesis, in the very next story, you find the story of Cain and Abel, two brothers who both brought their offerings before God. We're told that Abel brought God the fat portions of the firstborn of his flock, which simply means that he brought God the first and the best that he had to offer. And then we're told that Cain, however, simply brought him some of the fruits of his soil, meaning instead of giving God the first of his crops and the best that he had, he kept those for himself, and then he kind of gave God his leftovers. Which begs the question, why would Cain do this? Well, probably because he, on some level, he had a low view of God. He forgot who exactly it was that he was sacrificing to, because he lost sight of things like God's holiness and his majesty. He forgot that God was not just his buddy, but that he was also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because he had a low view of God, he carried that error forward and he acted accordingly. And so when you and I, when we consider our mental image of God, it is really important that we have an accurate one. Because just like my word problems and just like these biblical examples we looked at, if we have a false picture, if we have errors in our understanding of who God is and what he is like, those errors are things that we will carry forward that will lead to bad decisions. And so if you have a view of God, of one who is angry or erratic, it could turn you into a person who has deep-rooted anxiety. Right? Maybe the reason that some of you lay awake at night, maybe it's actually tied to this. If you're someone who thinks that God is constantly disappointed or displeased with you, that might incline you to become a fearful or an insecure person. If you think God is aloof or distant, that could lead to this sense of aloneness that you carry with you throughout this life. And because of this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is not simply isolated to our understanding of what God is like, but it is deeply influential into how we approach things in our life, things like parenting our kids and loving our spouses, even our sense of purpose and meaning in this life. So given all of this, given all the stuff that we just talked about, my next statement should be fairly obvious. But given all of this, it should be of the utmost importance for us to consider the source of our current God picture. Right? It should be of the utmost importance for us to consider the source of our current God picture. Because I said at the beginning, all of our God pictures, right, they all come from somewhere. Maybe they come from family members or friends. Maybe it comes from the church that you grew up in. Maybe it comes from a teacher you had in school or a person you follow on social media. And all of the sources can both shape and influence our understanding of God, and they can do so for the better, or they could do so for the worse. And the reality is there are, unfortunately, a lot of people who will misrepresent God. And in the world we live in, it's a whole lot easier to find misrepresentations than it is to find accurate ones. And if we're being real honest, there's also an enemy out there who would like nothing more than to plant false ideas and false thoughts into your minds about what God is actually like. To whisper lies to you that you are unlovable or that God could never forgive someone like you. And this is why it's so important that our understanding of who God is and what he is like can only come reliably from one source. And that source has to be God himself. Our image of God, it must come from Scripture, because when it comes to the question, what is God like? Only God can accurately answer that question. It must come from him. And the good news is, God has chosen to reveal much of who he is and much of what he is like to us. And so throughout this series, that's where we're going to go to look for answers. We're going to go straight to Scripture, and we're going to see what God has to say about himself. And all this leads to the second reason it is so important for us to learn about God, and that is because it's hard to trust someone you don't really know. Right? It's hard to trust somebody that you don't really know. And so, for example, I want you guys to imagine that you guys are leaving a Guardians game next week. And it's late at night, and so as you are walking back to your car from this Guardians game, I want you to imagine that the following van pulls over, okay, and a stranger leans out the window and says, "I don't have time to explain, but I need you to jump in the van," okay? So I want you to imagine this scenario. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you would jump in the van? Okay, nobody. You're smarter than last night. Last night, there were a handful of people who actually raised their hands. We talked to them afterwards. They're going to be okay, but... You chose correctly, right? Like, none of you should get in the van in that scenario, okay? So good job. But now I want you to consider that you are in the exact same scenario. You are leaving a Guardians game. It is still late at night. Same creepy van pulls over. But this time, instead of a stranger leaning out the window, I want you to imagine that this time you're closest, most trusted friend leans out the window and says, "I don't have time to explain, but I need you to jump in." Now, in the second scenario, I'm sure you would still have a ton of questions. Like, dude, where did you get this van and why are you driving that? Right? Like, you're creeping me out a little bit. But if your most trusted friend says, "I don't have time to explain, but I need you to trust me and I need you to jump in," as crazy as it sounds, there is now a good chance that some of us are actually jumping in the van with them. And why in the world would we do that? Because we know them. Because we know their character, because we know they love us, and because we know that they would never intentionally hurt us. And so when push comes to shove, even if it seems crazy, and even if we don't fully understand why, because we trust them, the scenario is now completely different. And the reality is the exact same thing is true with God. It is hard to trust God if you don't really know him. If God is not someone you know really well, it will be hard to follow God in the moments when he calls you to difficult things. But let's be honest. There are going to be times when God calls you to some pretty difficult things, and to things that might sound crazy, and in moments when we don't fully understand why he is asking us to do something. And so, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, it says this. It says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." And he goes on to say that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In Matthew 18, Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, and Peter comes to Jesus and asks, he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times, Jesus answered. I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And here's the deal. If you don't know him, if you don't know what God is like, if you don't know with absolute certainty that God is like for you and in your corner, then commands like these might sound about as crazy as getting in that van. Right? And some of you, you might find yourself in a position right now where you think to yourself, I don't understand why God would ever ask me to forgive that person. Like, doesn't he understand what they did to me? Or maybe things are tight for you financially right now, and so you think to yourself, why in the world would God ask me to give him a portion of my money? Doesn't he see my situation? Maybe you're going through a hard stretch in your marriage right now, and it's hard to understand why God would want you to stay married, even if you're no longer in love with him. And again, if you don't know who God is, if you don't know what he is like, it is going to be really hard for you to trust him and trust his leading. Because it's really hard to trust someone that you don't really know. And so one of my hopes for you throughout this series is that as you get to know God better, as you get to know him on a deeper level, that it will help you learn to trust him more. My hope is that this series will help grow your faith in those moments where, if we're being completely honest, it's really hard to trust God because those moments have and they will come. And so that's one of my hopes for this series. One of my fears of this series is that you will walk away from it with only an increase in knowledge, right? So one of the real dangers of doing a series like this is at the end of all of our studies, after we have spent weeks learning about God's love and his patience and his holiness and his faithfulness and his mercy and his wrath, one of the dangers is that we will merely walk away with new information about God and that we will have given ourselves this illusion of spiritual growth. Because the reality is, Satan already knows every attribute that we're going to look at. Right? He already knows all the information that we're going to study together. And yet, he has still chosen not to trust him. And so when this series is all said and done, the question is not, do you know God better? But rather, the question should be, in light of this knowledge, has it brought you to a place where you actually trust him more? Where you're willing to follow him in those moments when it's really hard and you don't understand why he would call you to certain things. And so the first reason this series is important is because a wrong view of God leads to wrong decisions. The second reason is because it's hard to trust someone that you don't really know. And the third reason is because you and I were made in the image of God. Because you and I were made in the image of God. And so the first place we see this idea show up is in Genesis chapter 1. Here's what it says in Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so in Genesis 1, we read that when God created mankind, that there was something about us that separated us from the rest of creation. And that something is that we were created in the image of God. That we as human beings were somehow uniquely created in a way that mirrors and reflects part of who God is. Now, there are a lot of layers to what that actually means that we don't really have time to get into today. But I want to tell you a quick story that I hope illustrates one aspect of that reality and why that aspect is so connected and important to this particular series. And so it was probably about 15 years ago now that I had just bought my first house, and I was out cutting my grass one day when I ran over, or probably better stated, I ran into a giant tree root that was sticking up out of the ground. And so I was on a Craftsman riding lawnmower, and I'm just cruising along, and I like hit this root, and it causes the lawnmower to come to a dead stop, and for me to kind of like go jolting forward, and the steering wheel is now like lodged somewhere in my stomach. And so it was kind of one of those moments where you're completely by yourself and you look around and you're like, did anyone else see that? And you have this sneaking suspicion that one of your neighbors was probably watching you through the window. And so after I composed myself, I had to continue cutting the rest of the grass. But about a few minutes later, I noticed that something is wrong with my lawnmower deck because the lines of my lawn, the grass is now like this, so it's kind of got this like zigzag pattern going on with it, and so something is clearly wrong. And so I get my lawnmower into my garage, and I start looking underneath it trying to figure out what's wrong. And so there's these screws on each side that you can kind of change the height of the deck to make sure it's level, but they appear to be set the same, so that they appear like they're even. There's this wavy piece in the front that is the third connection point to the lawnmower deck, and it looks like a pin might be missing, but I can't really tell if it's missing, if it's supposed to be there. And so at this point, like, I'm a brand new homeowner, right? Like, I've owned this lawnmower for about 30 seconds, and I've never owned one before, so I have like no idea what I am doing. And so I get out the owner's manual, and it's just really, if I'm honest, it's not that helpful. There's pictures of lots of things in there, but not the part that I'm looking for. The pin that might be missing is used on certain models, but not all models, and it doesn't tell me if my model has the pin or not. The curve piece that's in the front, it might be bent, but it's kind of this really unique angle to start out with, so I can't really tell. And so after about a half hour or so of just trying to figure this out, I come to the realization that I'm not going to figure this out on my own. And that I either need to find a lawnmower that is in like perfect condition that I can compare mine to see, like, put them side by side and see what's wrong, or I need to talk to someone who has knowledge of what this thing is supposed to be designed like. And so again, brand new homeowner, at this point I'm pretty cheap, we don't have a ton of money, so I'm like, I'm not paying someone to come fix this, I can't afford that. So the plan that I come up with is that I drive myself to the Sears department store, and I literally lay on the ground of the showroom, and I'm like sticking my head under their floor model, trying to compare pictures of my broken lawnmower to the factory original lawnmower. My wife is in the background, kind of embarrassed, like, what are you doing? The floor is probably disgusting. But I have to tell you, the moment that I did that, I immediately could see what was wrong. Right, the moment that I saw what my lawnmower looked like, and I could put it side by side with an original, it was so obvious which part was broke and what needed to be replaced. So here's the connection. When the Bible teaches us that we are made in the image of God, it means that when we study the character of God, we are not just learning about what God is like. It means we're also learning what we were created to be like. Right? When we learn about God, we're also discovering how humans who were made in His image were designed and created to live. And so when we discover that God is patient, that knowledge should lead us to the place where we not only trust Him more, but it also informs us that as His image bearers, we were designed to be patient. And so if we want to maximize our potential, if we want to function at our like optimal level of humanity, patience is a non-negotiable part of our design, because that's how we were created. And when we learn that God is holy, that's not just something that's true of God, like, oh, that's kind of a cool fact about God, right? Like, that is also something that is supposed to be true about us. And when we learn about God's holiness, one of the things we're going to learn is that the holiness of God and the health of His creation, that those things are actually inseparably linked. And that things like our meaning and our purpose, that they can't actually be found apart from our design and creation in God. And so as people made in His image, our understanding of what God is like also informs us what we were originally called and created to be like. Now the reality is all of us in this room, just like my lawnmower, we are all broken, right? We were all created in the image of God, but the Bible goes on to teach that because of sin, parts of that image, it has been marred and it has been distorted. And so we all have pieces that are missing and parts that are bent and things that need to be adjusted. We all have things that we don't like about ourselves, things that we struggle with, and things that, if we're honest, they're just kind of plain ugly about us. And most of our brokenness is the result of self-inflicted wounds, right? Choices and decisions that we have made that we regret along the way. But we also have others' inflicted wounds, right? And so the same way that our sin, it can negatively impact the people around us, the sin of others, right? It can obviously impact us as well. And so some of the brokenness that we experience, it's not the result of anything that we've done, but rather it's the result of what other broken people have done to us. And so some of you have been fed lies by the world about your body image and what gives you self-worth. Others of you might have abuse in your past that has skewed your reality about things like conflict and what love is actually supposed to look like. Some of you might have grown up in homes with parents or who taught or modeled behavior for you that you thought was normal and healthy, but that was actually harmful and destructive. And sometimes, without a standard of health to compare it to, it can be really hard to tell what's broken because our normals are all we've ever known, right? Some of us have just grown up with things and we assumed that that was normal. But the good news for us is that not only has God chosen to reveal himself to us, he has also given us an original, unbroken model that we can look to in the person of Jesus. And so in Colossians 1:5, it says it like this. It says that the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And in Hebrews 1, it says the Son, again Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And so it is in the person of Jesus that we have an original, unbroken model that we can look to. And Jesus, not only do we get a savior, but we also get a glimpse into how you and I were designed and created to live. And so why does God call us to forgive? Well, because Jesus first forgave us, and because we were created in his image. And why does God call us to be generous? Well, because God was first generous to us, and because we were created in his image. And so while we don't get to be like God in every way, such as his unlimited knowledge or his unlimited power, we do get to be like him, and we were created to be like him in his character, which again is just one more reason why it is so important that we continue to go through this series and this study on the attributes of God. So I'm actually going to invite the band back up. And while they're coming, what I want to do is I want to leave you with three challenges that I want to invite you into, three things I kind of want to push you on that you would do throughout the course of this series. And so the first challenge is this. It's, will you lock in for the entirety of this series? Or will you just lock in for this series? So we say that often, but it's so important, especially in one like this, that if you just come and you only hear certain attributes of God and you miss others, whether that's because you're traveling or on vacation or because you're like, I don't like that attribute, so I'm just not coming that week, right? Like, it's so important that we don't try and isolate God to just certain attributes that we like and not lean into the other ones. It's so important to get the full spectrum and picture of who God is. The other reason I say that is because I just want to, like, I acknowledge the obvious, like, right, like summer's kicking off, school just ended for many of the kids. A lot of you guys have vacations and you have one foot out the door and you're going to be here and you're going to be gone some weeks. And again, it's just so important for you to do this. So if you're around, I want to encourage you to be here for every week of this series. And if you're not, would you utilize our technology and just go back and listen to each one of the attributes that we talk about, right? We have a live stream that's like, as soon as the service ends, the live stream is always there and available on YouTube. And on our website, we're going to post sermons. So if you miss one of these weeks, would you go back? Would you make sure you don't skip any of the attributes throughout this series? So that's the first challenge for you. Second challenge I have for you is, will you be open to adjusting your view of God? Would you be open to adjusting your view? And I'm going to be honest, this one is going to be super hard to do. When you have thought about God a certain way for most of your life, it is really hard to shift that and to adjust that. But my hope is that all of us will allow God to kind of recalibrate our minds throughout this series. Because even if you started strong and you had an accurate view of God, it is so easy in our world to get this false idea somewhere along the way and to allow it to just drift and send you a little bit off course. And so would you be open to allowing God to kind of recalibrate that? And I'll be honest, for some of you, as you start to do that, it might unearth some things, like some hurt, because you might realize some people who've led you astray along the way, and there might be some frustration towards them. It might cause you to question what sources you can trust, because again, you're going to realize that maybe some of the things that you thought you could trust aren't actually trustworthy. Maybe some of you've been blaming God because of a bad experience you've had in your life, and so if you're honest, you're like, I don't know if I can trust God right now. And this recalibration might force you to realize, you know what, that thing actually isn't God's fault. You have to decide where you're gonna do with the blame that you've been putting on him. And so My challenge to you is simply, would you allow God to speak for himself this series? Would you allow his word to just simply stand for what it is? And would you be open to the possibility that God might need to actually adjust your view of God? And then finally, the last one is this. It's, would you be willing to look within? Would you be willing to look within? Would you allow each of these attributes to not only inform you about who God is, but would you be willing to allow it to challenge who you are as someone who is made in his image? Because if what the Bible teaches is right, when it teaches us that when we conform ourselves to the image of God, that we have the ability to unlock something in us as humans, as part of our original design that we're not going to find anywhere else. And so that's where we're headed this summer, and that's where we're headed this series. And so I'm going to take a moment and pray for us, and then the band's going to lead us out. Well, Father, you are good, and we are super grateful that you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. God, that is something you do not have to do. And God, honestly, it is only in your goodness that we even have the ability to even start to comprehend a little bit of who you are. So God, thank you for doing that. God, I pray that as we dive into this, would you give us an appropriate sense of awe and wonder in who you are? Would you just remind us of these things, God? Would you blow us away by your character and things that maybe we haven't seen before? God, as we do that, I pray that you would humble us enough that we would be willing to recalibrate where we need to, that we would adjust the things that we think about you that are off and that are wrong, and that you would give us the humility to do that. And then, God, we also want to invite you to change us. Would you mold us and shape us back into the persons and the men and the women that you have created us to be? And God, where we are off, where we have left our original design, the good things that you've called us to, would you shape us and move us back to things that we know are good and healthy, both for your glory and for our good? Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.